Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 20th, 2022. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. The cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Please text me first because of all the robocalls, you might not get me to answer. Anyway, you can always find breaking news, mission updates, all about the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information all over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We are a national satellite radio program, simulcast live on internationally on YouTube, podcast, and also some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. Oh, scratch that. YouTube has kicked us off, so we're only putting a few programs over there right now. On another note, let's thank our listener bases. Places like Kawasaki, Japan, Baguio City, Philippines, Durban, South Africa, and of course in the good old USA, such as Berkeley, California, Lihue, Hawaii, Albany, New York. Kansas City, Kansas, you are still the largest group of listeners to our programs. That is when they go to podcast later tonight. And Paris, France is right up behind you at the number two slot. So pray about supporting radio. But beyond that, just send me a text. I'd like to know what city that you are hailing us from. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Plural, that means two. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio goes according to your will, not my will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, please bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Okay, well, who have I got online with me?
I've got Randy.
Randy, okay, well, we had some kind of, apparently, Ken's phone didn't register. Did you hear that?
I did, sir.
Yeah, I guess we got, so I guess it's me and you. I don't know what happened to Ken. Ken was supposed to be ready, and so I guess we're just going to kind of skip the intro.
Yes. How are you, brother?
To the program we're going. Yeah, well, how are you?
Hey, man, I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so anyways, let's go back. Folks, we have on with us tonight, have with us our guest, which is Scott, and he is from Arkhaven. We've talked about Arkhaven a lot, but we're getting to kind of re-explain what it is for some of you newcomers that are out there listening to the radio program tonight. Scott, why don't you tell us what is the intentional neighbor concept? You don't have to get into an hour's worth.
Well, it's a place to where Christ-centered homesteaders who have been called to come out of Babylon to come together in a location to where people can learn how to live sustainable lifestyles. Everyone is the king of their own castle, the queen of their own home. We have training centers, we build homes. It's a place to where people can reestablish and move to an area of like-minded people who love Yeshua and love the work that the Father is calling them to in this time. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I pressed my mute button. I was typing a minute ago. But let's go back to that. So, Arkhaven, where did the name Arkhaven come from, the folks? That came from Ken Updegrove, right?
Yes. Ken Updegrove was given a vision almost 50 years ago. And when I met Brother Ken, you know, in 1999, I'd never really met a man who had held on to a vision for 50 years. I was amazed. And we found that a lot of things that we believe aligned, and we both fasted and prayed, and we come together through a chain of miraculous events and started the venture of Arkhaven. And Arkhaven has grown. August was a year, so we have now been going and started accepting people a year and 5 months ago. It's hard to believe, but we currently get about 9 to 20 calls a day from all over the world, and of course we vet people, and they come from all over, and they reestablish life. We build them homes, we build farms, we build any type of homestead that they would like. And they can also build their own. We have many different ways of doing that. People all transition differently.
Yeah, amen. So let's back up a minute now. So it was what you say about a year ago? This is
actually a year and a half ago. I actually started finding a safe place for my family back in 2015 and found that it was very difficult to do it myself. And so I just continued to prepare with my wife and my family, and we were introduced to Ken Updegrove by an author, the gentleman that wrote The Bloodlines of the Illuminati. Mr. Fritz Springmeier introduced Ken to my wife, and my wife introduced me to Ken, and we brought him to our home in Branson, Missouri, where we'd lived for 21 years, and found that we just loved his vision and loved the passion that he has kept for so many years. And we had a chain of events that allowed us to come together with the first phase. And I called Brother Ken, and I said, start accepting people. And at that time, it exploded, and it hasn't stopped since.
Okay. So from the time that you made you guys came together and you said, okay, well, we're going to do this, let's start. That was, how long was that? It was, what, about a year or, you know?
A year and a half ago. Yes, sir.
Well, okay. So this exploded. Tell the folks how big this is now and how many people.
Well, we have five phases. A phase is a body of land anywhere from 171 to 1,800 acres. So we have around 4,000 acres. We have probably 40 families that are there full-time now, and over 100 more transitioning, and every day more joining. So we could have had 1,000 people by now, but we are careful to make sure that the Father, one, is calling them and that they are meant to be there at Arkhaven. Yes. And so we've grown. We have homes being built everywhere, homesteads being built. It's a lot of the common areas are flourishing with animals and activities and all types of things.
Well, okay, so let's go ahead. Now, so folks, if you go to arkhaven.org, there's a lot of wonderful pictures over there that shows this, work, in which it's a work in progress. It's just, there had to be a divine hand in it, didn't there, to do this in such a short period of time?
Oh, my goodness. Every step has been a miracle. You know, none of this was planned. There's no instruction manual on this. There's many communities that have existed in the past, and I didn't want a traditional community. It's not what the Father was showing me. I wanted to own my own land and to be able to be myself. That's why we live in America. And so people own their own land. They have access to hundreds of acres of common areas. And when a person comes, we go through a transition meeting, and based on what their particular needs are on getting from where they are to here, we facilitate and help with that as much as they want us to. There's nothing required of a person other than to own their own land. And there's, you know, no bosses, no kings, no rulers, no kings but King Yeshua.
Well, with all that and people, you know, it sounds like, you know, people are just independently moving next door to each other. So, but
yeah.
So that, which is great. But how does that work out into everybody contributing? I mean, you know, there are some people just say, oh, I ain't going to do anything. Or, what's going on?
Well, you know, I find that a lot of people that are homestead-driven have work ethics. And, you know, most homesteaders have expertise and specialties. So when you put multiple homesteaders together, it is a formula for a great thing. We also have training centers to help people learn some of the skills that they might not know or might be lacking in. We also have jobs available, and many people work on campus and they work off. But you can be as involved with the common areas. Common areas are extra lands that people have access to for growing and doing all types of things, from sawmills to animal husbandry to farming. And many people are doing their own, and there's also many people not only co-oping, but also adding workshops to teach people. Many people are starting businesses in the area. And so we're not just by ourselves. You know, the reason I chose an intentional neighborhood, a community is more enclosed. An intentional neighborhood means that you're an extension of the existing people that are there. And the people in the community in general are amazing. So we wanted to not only be useful to them, but we wanted to grow this area in a way to where it was stronger and more powerful as a unity.
Yeah, amen. And somebody just asked again, they wanted to know more about the vetting process, you know, okay, how they aren't going to move, have communists moving next door to them, you know.
That's
what the question was.
Well, it's so important, you know, why are we leaving where we're leaving now? Why are we coming out of Babylon? And so you want to make sure, you know, what a scenario to be able to pick somewhat your own neighbors. And listen, we've all got some, we all have issues where we live amongst humans. So I always tell people, lower your expectations. You know, people are going to be people. We're all going to disappoint each other at some time. But the thing that makes us different is how we handle it. We want to treat everyone using biblical principles. You know, if you have a problem with your brother, Matthew 18 it. You know, we want to make sure that we give people the liberty and the space that they need, but at the same time, you know, treat each other with the love that, that Jesus taught us how to be and to do. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, amen. So all these people suddenly coming together like this, was that a shock to the existing community? I mean, there's farmers and things around. Did they, you know, they accept you, or are they leery of you, or do they, what?
Well, there's always there's always a curve. You know, when you're living out in the country, there, I guess the biggest shock to a lot of them was the extra traffic. But honestly, whether we were there or not, anywhere in country America, people are flocking from everywhere to go there. So it was a perfect time based on the Father's calling to do something like this. So it looks very normal. We didn't want to look like a hyper-prepping group or some type of cult. So right. People worship where they want to. There's no dictation of denominations or anything like that. We do ask that a person be able to hear another person's beliefs, maybe their doctrine, without offense. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is given liberty to teach truth in that. It's a place to where people can be absolutely normal. They work inside and outside the community. We've actually increased the value of the community in many, many ways. And it's been an amazing venture for sure.
Well, so would it be fair to say that you folks are really assimilating, so to speak, into the neighborhoods around you, the people that are there?
That's right, yes. Yeah, we're only as good as the people that were already there.
Yeah, amen, amen. That's a big thing. So have you gained any help from the people around you?
Oh, yes. At first, it was hard to get a lot of the locals to plug in, in fear that we might be a cult or something like that. I've heard rumors like that time to time. But honestly, some of our best workers and our best affiliates are people that have lived there for their whole life, and they have been so good to us. But you know what? In anywhere in country America today, if you ask the person next to you, where are you guys from? You're going to hear that they're from all over the United States as well. So this is we just believe that we're doing it in a way to where the Father is calling us and leading us. And the land that we have been trusted with has been prophesied over for many, many generations, way before I was born.
Yeah, amen. When I've talked with Ken, and folks, you can go back and look in the archives, I call this sometimes the Hidden Mountain is what I call it.
Yes, yes.
But Corey Ten Boom and some others prophesied over this neighborhood, and you can.
Yes.
Those stories are still over there at arkhaven.org, aren't they?
They are. In fact, if you listen to Corey Ten Boom's prophecy, the second week of that prophecy, when she was flying over that part of the Ozarks, I truly believe there was an X drone at one time on a map, and it actually flies over what we call Phase 4.
Oh, amen, amen. So, wow, it's exploding, and it's going right. You say...
My goodness, yes.
You say there's people there from all over. You want to
yes.
go a little
Well, my wife, she visioned at one time that we would have a very colorful group if we ever did that. And I just laughed and I said, not in Arkansas. It's not going to happen. But we literally have people from the Philippines, Mexico, Brazil, Spain, Australia, all over. And, it's amazing to see so many people come together doing God's work and living together in unity and with a focused effort, to be normal and to live the lives that Yeshua intended for us to live and to be useful, hard workers. I remember, I got to grow up in a great time of America, and my father was a pastor of a very small church, and we didn't have television for a long time. And we always worked in small communities where we always farmed and grew gardens. And I remember sitting on the porches and listening to my aunts and uncles and grandparents and great-grandparents tell stories. And it was a cherished time of life. And, the old ways of doing things have been lost. And we are bringing those things back and, homeschooling and homeschooling co-ops. We're teaching children trades, and we're spending time, quality time, with our families. And it's amazing.
So you're getting, you said children, so you're getting different age groups, some people with families, some not. What kind
of... my goodness, yes. From firstborn to 90 years old. So it's anywhere in between. Everyone's useful.
Did this surprise you? I mean, you know.
Brother, I have lived a dream and a miracle. I have never in my wildest imagination would I have dreamed this would have happened. I just didn't. And, again, none of it was on purpose. Mm-hmm. So the 180 that I did in life personally in the last year and a half shocked me enough. But to see and to hear from so many people everywhere being called to do the same thing is a humbling honor to be a part of.
Yeah, amen. Let me talk to the folks a minute. Folks, I haven't been out there to see it. In fact, actually, this exploded in the last year and a half, and so much with COVID. I'm even amazed at how it happened with all the COVID things going on. But, you know, I hadn't expected this to happen. To me, Randy, it was like a bomb going off because, you know, McKenna has been talking about this. I don't know. I've had the Kennel on radio for, I don't 6-7 years, I don't know, maybe longer than that, off and on, thinking about this vision. And then all of a sudden, it's just like a bomb went off, you know what I mean? And I thought, well, okay, well, we'll see. And then looking at the pictures and listening to the updates from both of you, it's just really shocking to see how far and fast this has come. The only way that I can say this, because I don't assume that any of you guys are millionaires, this is a lot of work that has come together in this period of time without, you know what I'm saying? Back to you.
Yes. Well, you know, every part of it has been downloaded through fasting for me. I don't hear audible voices from the Lord. I don't see visions and dreams. I hear from the Holy Spirit and the Lord by fasting and praying. And it was all downloaded on what to do, and I was told to solicit nothing. If we needed something, to pray for it. And that's very hard in today's world. And it teaches a level of patience, but, you know, I don't know how everything become what it did. None of the land was for sale. It was miraculously brought to us. We had conversations with the previous landowners, and the father always showed up and took care of it in ways that I wouldn't have perceived. But it's all done. The father has always used people who have been obedient to his word, and so many people have been gracious to come in and to do their part. And listen, we don't ask for money. We don't have people paying dues and selling their stuff. None of that goes on. We don't have donations. We don't have any of that. But it comes from people coming and building homesteads. That's how everything happens. And none of us were millionaires. We gave everything that we worked for all of our lives to do this. And yes.
Let me get in here a minute. I've just found out that Ken, I guess he called in, not or whatever, but we'll say hi to Ken. Time to go to break just as soon as we do. Are you with us, Ken? Well, folks, with this radio program, we had some interference, some technical problems. I'm not quite sure what they are. We're trying to fix them, but the program is not the high quality that we enjoy normally. But part of the program is missing. We're right here before we go to break. But when I come back, I'm going to be talking with Kenneth up to Grove, and I was talking with Brother Scott at Arkhaven Ministries. Sorry for the inconvenience, but we're going to do better right here in the future. Stay tuned. The second half is great.
Away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-wrath or post-wrath, whatever your position is, this book will help you to find the truth. If you're really looking for the truth about the rapture, I honestly believe you will find it in this book. It'll settle in your spirit because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows the truth about the rapture. And one of the reasons that the people other than post-trib can't seem to find peace about this is because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them that they don't have the truth. That is, until they find post-trib. But either way, this is going to help you to find the peace about the rapture. I really recommend you get it. We offer them in shrink wrap sets of 10. 1 for 20, 10 for 30, and 20 for 50 at prophecyclub.com. 1 for 20, but don't do that. 10 for 30, 20 for 50, give you extras to give to your friends. Because once you read this one, you're going to be handing this to your pastors, to all of your Christian friends, and just ask them to read it. If they get through the first chapter, they're going to read the whole book, and they're going to love it. And it's going to help them to really find the truth about the rapture. How Pre-Trib One at prophecyclub.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlett from Messiah's Branch Prophecy on American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and so on and so forth. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. We're having kind of a crazy program tonight. Wires are crossed, and who knows what's going on. But I think I got Ken with me. Are you with me, Ken?
Yes, I am. This time I can hear very good.
I can hear you very good. And too, Randy was or, you know, Scott was here with us earlier, so I don't know if he's coming back in or not, so I can just talk to you, because pretty much I got everything I needed out of Randy, or got all out of him in the first place. Anyway, let's back up. Arkhaven, that started off as your vision. Maybe we better let you tell the folks just real briefly, you know, what Arkhaven is. You know what I'm saying? How you got? Because we've been talking about it for a long time on radio, but we always have new people. So tell them about the Arkhaven vision. We'll start with
that. Well, thank you, Dan. In 1971, I was living in St. Louis, actually in the suburb of St. Louis, at Richmond Heights, and the church I was going to, the pastor was in a series of sermons on the subject of Christians all have a calling, a mission in their life that the Lord is calling them to. Well, that was news to me, so I started praying regularly as often as I could, almost every night. And one night that the Lord gave me my commission, it was very short. The audible part was just a very short phrase, "Feed my sheep," what he said. But got a huge download with that. I was told that my mission in life was to prepare his people for the end times. And he said that time was coming that would be exponentially worse than the Depression, that I was to prepare his people physically, mentally, and spiritually for this time. And so that was in the summer of 1971. In 1983, I was living in Illinois working at Scott Air Force Base as a computer programmer. And the Holy Spirit told me while I was out praying in a soybean field that I was to move to Arkansas, to the Ozark Mountains in northwest Arkansas. It was very specific. And so I started making trips to the Ozarks to confirm that. I wanted to really know for sure that the Holy Spirit had done this. And I had several confirmations, all of them pretty long, probably too long to go into now, but they are on my website. On my website, go to rcaven.org and find the menu item, Ken's testimony. There's all of my testimonies concerning how the Lord gave me this calling and how it got me to the Ozarks and how all of this got started. So that was in 85 that I actually moved here. And then it was 2019 that Scott's wife called me and said that Scott wanted to talk to me. They had learned about me through Fritz Springmeier at his program, and they've been reading my website for 2 years. And so I started meeting with Scott, and things finally came together for us to really start meeting and doing some things. COVID thing was really going strong then in 2020. And Randy announced to me that the Holy Spirit had told him that he is to take the vision and fulfill it. He was going to be following the Holy Spirit and the vision rather than me. I was just simply the bearer of the vision, and he took the vision. And he had done a lot of fasting and praying, so he wasn't sure he was doing. Left his profession and sold everything and started buying land to form the Arkhaven. And that was in August of 2021. Started doing, no, I'm sorry, 2020. And so in August of 2021, we had been doing this for 1 year, buying and selling land. And by that time, we had 4,000 acres and had sold basically 3,000. And, well, I think that's a real quick overview. Am I missing something? Are you there, Dan?
I'm here. God, I had it. I have a habit of muting my thing because I'm bumping around in here. So, okay. So, Randy, now you left it. I'm just testing this. Randy, are you with us? No. No, you're not. Okay. So, we just got Ken. Ken, that was a really good overview. But in this point, you said, well, Randy took the vision from you. You're still very critical into this, don't you, that people first have to talk to you before they ever even get hooked up with him?
Yeah, right. They talk to me first. Our secretary sends them to me when they call her directly. That website also sends them directly to me. And so I'm an averaging 3 to 5 people that talk to 3 to 5 people a day. Talking about, do they really understand our vision, and are they really qualified to come in at this time, or do they need to come in at a different time?
Right, amen. And in fact, that was one of the questions was asked in the first part of the program was you know, how are the people vetted in any such sort of way? How do you keep, say, from a communist coming in and buying some property? You know what I'm saying? So you can address that.
But then after I've interviewed them, embedded them, I send them on to Randy, and then Randy, between them, so they call each other until they catch each other, and then Randy vets them, and his our primary concern is, well, first off, along with mine, are they spiritually mature enough to understand what we're doing here? And second off, what kind of land do they want, and are they going to be able to handle all of this financially and physically?
Right.
And by the time that land events come, well, then they have a much better, we all have a better understanding of whether this is going to work for this party. I'm very, very protective of these people. I want to make sure that they aren't making a mistake.
Right.
I got to protect them as much as I got to protect us. So I'm very careful, you know, very, very gentle with all these people. I've fallen in love with 99% of them. I mean, I end up talking to them all a year, hour or more. I've talked from 1 to 2 hours with almost all of them. It's just what I do for fun, but it's just so wonderful to talk to these people.
Amen, amen. Well, but you know, you had this all had a divine factor in it in the first place. You know, you had that visitation, and so you know, after having a visitation like that by that angel, then you know, I don't believe that the Father would just send you the wrong people. You know what I'm trying to say there?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we have really had a lot of wonderful people. I'm just so impressed and so blessed by it all.
So, okay. I was using the expression in the first part of the program that, to me, this just exploded in a short period of time. Look, COVID was happening and everything. Isn't there an incredible amount of work done in this short, a little over a year?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing that anything that big could happen in that short of time. Because my website had been up for 30 years, I had already had quite a list of people who wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Randy started buying land, I gave him, I wrote to all these people and told them to call Randy and see if we can get something started. So we were selling land almost as quickly as we were buying it.
Wow.
So we started off with bang. And it's really been remarkable.
He said the land wasn't even really for sale when you started.
He reached the point where he was ready to buy, but before he could even do that, I guess the word was out and ranchers were coming to him and saying, hey, would you be interested in my acreage? I've got 300 acres over here. And another one was, most of them were 300 acres, but one of them was 1,800 acres. That was a big one. That's really a remarkable piece of real estate, that one.
Yeah.
Some of them are dead things, so it's been a...
Looking at the land on the... tell us about the pictures. Where did all those pictures come from? I mean, on the website, those were amazing.
Yeah, one of our people took an awful lot of pictures, and he keeps trading them out all the time because he's got 4 or 5 times more than he can put up at once, so he keeps rotating them around. And new houses keep being built all the time. See, this is ranch land, so there wasn't any houses out there. There was 2 or 3 wells. Now there's well over 20 wells. And so when people buy land, we can simply take a backhoe and dig a trench from the nearest well to their house, and likewise the power pole to their house. Our wells are producing, I understand, 30 to 50 gallons a minute, so one well can supply more than one house.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a real plus. Water, we're really long on water. We've got 6 creeks, and a couple of them run year-round. Arkansas creeks tend to dry up in the wet summertime.
Mm-hmm. Well, amen. This is really fantastic. Again, you know, let's go with this. This vision that you had in originality when you started this, and boy, that's really faith. You waited 50 years for this to happen, didn't you?
Yes, I was trying all those 50 years to do it. Every move I made, every job I took, I was everything was aimed towards fulfilling this vision. So, yeah, I was very faithful to it all those 50 years. There was times when I began to think, Lord, this is just isn't happening. And I would be chided for my questioning this and given even more insight and more direction. So I stayed, the Lord kept me invigorated the whole 50 years, kept me on focus for the whole 50 years.
That's amazing. And then, boom. And that's how the Father works, you know. Even in the Bible, we see that prophets and different ones were given a vision and a calling to do something, but it didn't get fulfilled overnight. I mean, like what? It took Noah and the Ark. That took, 100 years? I mean, you know.
120, yeah. And he preached the whole time.
Yeah, amen.
I didn't have a single convert. I didn't either. Well, I really did. A lot of people bought the vision and really wanted to go with it.
Yeah.
Over all those 50 years, a whole lot of people.
Well, amen. And I know the same feeling in a sense, not 50 years, but I don't know. I can't even figure out how many years that I have been talking to you on radio about it, you know, but I.
Eight or nine?
Okay. Yeah. So. 9 years, and I was always encouraged about calling you back and wanting you back on radio because I felt there was something in it, you know, something divine in it. And I have talked to a lot of people over the years about building places of refuge, and I've seen cult farms and all kinds of things. And, you know, quickly with those, you know, I was able to disconnect myself or whatever. But I just kept coming back, and because I believed in what you said, and I believed in the Arkhaven vision, I guess is we're all calling it, so really it's all pretty amazing and divine. And then you've got people from different parts of the world there, right?
Yes, people from several countries have called and wanted to join. A couple from Canada, South Korea, Philippines. Italy and Spain, North Africa, and some of Brazil, a couple from Brazil, so just all over the place.
Wow,
it's unbelievable. I keep wanting to call and put Hawaii on that list because it doesn't seem like it's in the United States, but a couple from Hawaii, you know, I said, wow, you mean Hawaii? Yeah. Well, one of the things I wanted to share with you, Pastor Joe Fox, he found my website 8 or 9 years ago also, and he was making comments about me and Arkhaven that early, and here recently I just accidentally ran across one that he made way back then in his car, and he says, I didn't tell Ken I was going to do this, and I don't know if he'll ever know that I did. Well, it was years later I just bumped into it accidentally. So other ministries out there have really caught this vision and have been very kind to it, you know, spoke well of the vision.
Well, amen.
So I feel blessed. And there's other ministries out there as well. I'm hoping her name will come to my mind just a little bit. But several other ministries as well. I'm sorry, Dan.
Oh, that's fine. I'm enjoying talking to you about it. You know, it's fine. Other ministers, but you know, you would expect that all the things that you expect with the move of the Holy Spirit, with the move of the Father, are elements in what's going on and what has been going on all these years. You know what I'm saying? Getting the right people there. It's a big thing even just to fit into the existing community that's already there, you know what I'm saying, and to be befriended by them. Like I was talking with Scott or Randy, whatever, before, you know, I was saying, well, how did the people around you accept you? And they've accepted everybody, right?
Yes. We've been well-received. But the rancher type people are just really laid back, friendly people. And for the most part, they're going to be Christians and very conservative. So, yeah, we've been very pleased how well we've been received among all of our neighbors.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, and I listened to the stories that went on, you know, how miraculously you got equipment and different things to work on everything. And because, like I say, let me address the folks on radio that are listening, you know, if you go back to our radio archives, you can find, you know, the programs that I did with Ken, and you can see the progress of this. And it's just miraculous, and it expands all the time. So there's still room? I mean, you know, you say Atlanta, is there still room? Is there still room for people to come or what?
Yes, so I understand that we have approximately 1,000 acres left out of that four. Randy probably told you how much we have left today, but approximately 1,000 acres. And so since 3,000 sold in 1 year, we anticipate that last 1,000 will sell in 6 months or less.
Right.
Because the cold season here has kind of slowed things down. But even so, I'm getting 2, 3, 4 calls a day.
Right.
Even now.
You're still even now getting 3 or 4 calls a day. And so if a person is interested, well, what happens after this 1,000 acres are gone? There's not going to be more room or what? That'll be the end of it?
Well, Randy and I are discussing that. I think that depending on the finances, it'd be wise to really concentrate on finishing all the roads, finishing all the wells, finishing all the houses, and fences and livestock, really get everything functional, really operational, get organized with the people, really get to know the people, and start figuring out, we need to have a clinic for medical reasons for our people. Well,
sure.
We need to have a central location where somebody, our people can call and says, hey, guys, there's some dogs killing my chickens. Would you come over and take care of that? Says, hey, guys, my husband just broke his leg. Would you haul him off to the hospital, you know? I says, hey, guys, there's some people out here I don't know. Would you come and check them out? You know, it's just kind of our own security system.
Right.
And also communications of all sorts to make sure that people have the internet and telephone services and that they're well connected. So we want to make sure that they're covered medically and security-wise and
person's interest.
All of the equipment works. What's that?
Well, I was going to say, so if somebody is interested in becoming part of this, they probably really need to act on it pretty quickly, wouldn't you say then?
Yes, for sure. We're giving thought to looking for adjacent land to buy, but we don't know what that might be at the moment. So we're just trying to leave that part of it open. Well, we're open, Lord, if you provide more land and the way to buy it. Just we're open land if you want us to finish developing everything that we've got already in operation so that we can basically, as the saying goes, get off the grid before the grid goes off. Can we have our greenhouses ready? Can we have our butcher shop ready? Can we have our sawmills ready? You get the picture of it. We want to be totally self-sufficient and really have incorporated all of our people into all of these programs as well as their own. We're hoping everybody will that is able will have their own chickens and rabbits and goats and garden and greenhouse and so on, whatever they can afford, whatever they have the ability to manage. So the more our own people are getting self-sufficient and then our community efforts are getting ready so that when the time comes that we will be able to go off the grid and self-sustain and also still be able to receive those that the Lord sends to us that need our help.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I don't think, you know, I don't believe the Father does anything in part. I mean, this has came together. This was, like I say, it was 50 years in the making. Absolutely. You know, Scott or Randy, whatever, you know, comes in and boom, it starts going together. But this was 50 years in the making, or over 50 years. I don't think that, you know, I just think it's going to succeed. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I don't see that it's not. I'm willing to guess. And I told him too. I said, I plan on coming out there as soon as the weather breaks. That's probably March. You know, I want to get it up. You know, I got stuff here, but I can't wait to come out and physically see it.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to. We're actually meeting you in person, brother. But we've had wonderful visits from other great ministries, and we're so looking forward to having you out there as well.
Well, amen. I've been trying for all this time. I've been trying my very best to promote you and our program, as you know, it goes out all over the world. Most of all, every place that you mentioned that people are from, you know, I know as a fact that we have people in those places listening to our radio program and have been for a long time. So, amen. That's great. Well, we've got about 2 minutes or a minute and a half. What do you want to say to the people and say goodbye to them and tell them where they can find you?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, brother. Let me read to you something I read to everybody that I talk to.
Okay.
I'm reading here, so I hope I do all right. There will be some diversity in doctrines, races, and languages, but it is time we would strive together and not strive among ourselves, because in Christ we who are many are one body, and each member belongs to one another. That's Romans 12:5. But my favorite here is Mark 12:28. One of the scribes came up and heard them arguing and recognized that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus, as you know, said, the foremost is, "Hear, Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this," and he takes the other 9 commandments and reduces them into this one. And still the point gets lost. As he reduces it to this, "You shall love your neighbors yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." I sum it up like this. Jesus lived and died for us out of love. That is unfailing. If we love him, we should be willing to love and die for him, like becoming one body of intentional neighbors, because in Christ we who are many are one body. Each member belongs to one another in this community of like-minded brethren. Since Jesus described us as being one body who are neighbors, I really hope we all will put emphasis on this concept. Our success as a community, despite our diversity, will rest heavily on really believing and practicing what Jesus has commanded us to do. Will you be comfortable with that? So that's something I read to everybody.
Amen. Amen. Folks, you can, and tell me if I'm wrong, they can find everything at arkhaven.org, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, Ken, I'm going to have to say goodbye and shalom to you. We're at the end of the program. We'll get this all together. I'll send you all a copy over when it goes into podcast later. But thanks for being on. I got to go. Goodbye and shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right. Be blessed. Folks, pray about support Shalom Mission Church. Pray about supporting radio. You can donate online, mail a check or money order, give a donation on the phone. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. But remember, folks, there's only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.